360 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning and welcome to The Morning Quest, where it is our goal to help you find joy in the journey. And we are so grateful that you are here with us today. It always makes it extra special. And I am here with Josh Harris and Dave Savage. Good morning. How
Good
are you all?
Good morning.
About to be a great morning because I'm going to say a prayer.
Ooh.
There we go.
Like it or not, here it comes.
Oh, we'll like it.
That's the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Jesus, guide us during this hour so we can best serve you and others. As I say, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace,
the Lord is with thee.
Blessed art thou among women,
and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God,
pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
And that was just the warm-up act. Now we're going for the rosary. Buckle up, everybody. Time to get holy.
As we're saying, you know, those prayers that we all should know, right? And if we don't know, it's okay. Let's learn them. Mm-hmm. I teach a sixth grade class and for Sunday school, or PSR, Parish School of Religion. Mm-hmm. And helping them know those prayers as well. Usually they do know them, and because I was teaching first grade, and that's the beginning stages, right, when they're learning their prayers. And it's a lot of fun. So you're bringing back memories of helping those kids and everybody learning their prayers.
Well, I think it's great to have those on deck, right?
That
you can just go to, or scripture quotes, you can just go to any time when you're in a particular situation, you need God's word to speak directly into that moment.
Absolutely. I always like to, some of our previous pledge drives we've had, we had the Catholic school kids say the prayer to open each hour. And a lot of times those preschool kids would say, and I can just imagine it's like herding cats, getting them all to, you know, to do it. But it's so cute and it's so authentic, I guess. I don't know.
It is. And truly, you know, even when I was teaching those Sunday school kids in first grade, it really is authentic. I mean, when you talk to them and when you're sharing things with them, you just see their eyes light up. And it's beautiful. My sixth grade class, you know, they're great. My kids are around the same age, but it's so, it's so different. But again, you have to go at, you know, talking to them in a different way to get their attention since they're in a different stage of life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
you have to text them.
No, I'm like, if they have their phones, I'm like, put the phones down.
Yeah.
We're here for an hour. We're volunteers. We don't get paid for this. We're so grateful to be here with you right now. And they really respect that. So
I heard a Bishop Barron gave a Lenten message on YouTube, and he said one of his things he was going to try to do is put his cell phone away for one day a week. I thought, dang, that's pretty powerful, man. I mean, like, you could do Sunday, right? Like, your business isn't going to be reaching out. I want to do it. We'll see. But I think it would be a really good idea. Speaking of prayers, by the way, I thought this is kind of, I was talking to someone about this. You ever like talk to someone, and this is not a diss if someone's not Catholic, but they're like, oh yeah, I'm Catholic. And you know, there's kind of like there's growing up Catholic, and then there's, you know, practicing Catholic. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, you know, you're talking like, let's, you know, say a prayer together. And you say an Our Father, and you get to the midway point. And then you just wait for them to chime in with, give us this day, and they don't. And you're like, I guess you're not really. That's the Catholic handshake, okay? You didn't squeeze back, mister.
Yeah, well, I guess that's a test.
No, but what I do love about those prayers, Josh, you know, they are the classics, and they are, I mean, Our Father right from Scripture.
Well, if Jesus said it, it can't be that bad, right?
No, and again, focusing on the words. Again, when I pray these prayers that we've known forever, just focusing on the words and really thinking to myself, do I really believe what I'm saying? Do I really believe what I'm praying? I know myself. I'm sure there's somebody else that might think to them, just rattle them off here and there. Mm-hmm. Let's focus on what we're saying and ask the Lord to penetrate our hearts to understand and to live out these prayers more.
Yeah, and you think about, there's a massive cosmic significance. I mean, we say these prayers very rotely, but I mean, for the Our Father, I mean, there is incredible cosmic significance to this. You're saying our Father who art in heaven. Wait, you are equating someone who is there is being itself with like a personalization.
Oh yeah.
In paternal characteristics. I mean, that's how do I get from there to here? I mean, if I really thought about it, my mind would just explode.
Yeah.
I'm talking about, you know, infinity. It's like personalizing infinity from a paternal lens. It's so, yeah. I mean, you could go each one of those and just get a master's degree in that prayer itself if you really wanted to break it down and get into the nuances of it.
But even breaking it down, knowing that we, our little human self, right, can be communicating with our God on such an intimate level when we say our Father, we are calling out to him. And each one of us is made to do that. So even just thinking that way, it's profound.
The one who made all the billions of galaxies in this universe and knows every hair on, well, on your head, but mine. But
he knows every hair on your face. Yeah.
There you go. I was about to say that. I love it. Oh my gosh. Well, we have a great show. Father Rivak, priest at St. Clair of Assisi, is going to be reflecting on today's gospel. Chuck Persner is going to be back, getting us acquainted with the sainted. Brandon Doty, parishioner at Mary Our Queen, is going to be back, and he's going to be talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, how they are paths to perfection in Christ. So can't wait to speak with him about that topic as well. And then coming up next, Jesse Fearon, parishioner at St. Michael the Archangel in Woodstock and founder of Jesse Fearon Real Life on a Budget, will be sharing with us how we can surrender our money this Lenten season.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
Jesse Fearon from St. Michael the Archangel in Woodstock and founder of the website Jesse Fearon Real Life on a Budget will be talking to us today about how we can surrender our money this Lenten season. So welcome back, Jesse.
Thank you for having me again.
Oh, I am so happy to have you back. And what a great topic since we are in Lent. And since we're in that Lenten season and all things fasting and giving are at the forefront of our minds, do you have any advice on how we can use this Lenten season to become more disciplined with our money?
Yes. So the Lenten season is a fantastic time to kind of clear out the cobwebs and get very focused on our finances, because the three disciplines of Lent, as every Catholic knows, is prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Mm-hmm. And I believe that that applies to our money, because as Catholics, if we truly, you know, put in to practice what we say that we believe, which is that everything we have comes from God, then that means our finances too comes from God. The money we have is a gift from God, and we should be using it for his glory, not for our own. And so I do believe that it starts with that dedicated prayer and just taking our finances, no matter what they may look like right now, to the Lord and surrendering them to the Lord and asking him what he wants us to do with them, and then obeying what he wants us to do with our money.
Just thinking about that, right? It could be scary to some. Yes. It could be, you know, overwhelming, but just doing that, saying, Lord, I offer you my finances right now.
Yes, yes. And we can become very attached to our money, you know, where we don't want to, we're afraid of what Jesus is going to ask us to do with our money. But I do think that when we keep praying, we keep offering it, and we keep obeying, of course, that obeying part is always so important and so hard to do.
Yeah.
But when we do that, I do believe that it enriches our lives greatly.
You know, Jesse, and I love seeing that our money is really God's money, because he has called us to be good stewards over what he has given us. So how can someone who is struggling financially give alms?
You know, again, it starts with prayer, absolutely. But I also think too, it truly takes that act of surrendering and saying that this is not my money, this is the Lord's money. And then again, obeying what he tells us to do, because maybe he doesn't tell us to give our money. Maybe he, you know, maybe he tells us it's our time or our talents that we're called to give this particular season. You know, maybe we're supposed to do something different with our money. Maybe he's calling us to pay off debt or save money. So then that way, maybe next Lent, we can be in a better financial position to actually give real dollars and cents. So the reality is just to bring it to the Lord and be willing and open to surrender it to him.
And yeah, Jesse, you know, people can feel like, you know, they're on the fringe in a Christian communities because they don't have money to give. So looking at it that way.
Yes. And my family was actually like that for a while. Yeah. And also too, my husband, he's not Catholic, but he was also an atheist when I married him. Wow. He's no longer an atheist, yes. But he's always struggled with the idea of like giving money, especially to the church. Yeah. And so I remember that, you know, through a lot of prayer, he's come around and we can tithe now. But there was a time where we really didn't have money to tithe. And my husband was adamant that we could not tithe, yeah. even though I believed that I could make it happen, even if it was a dollar.
Yes.
But he wouldn't let me. Mm-hmm. And so I obeyed and did not tithe, but instead, inside of the offering envelope, I put prayer requests inside of there instead. Wow. And then, you know, if we did, like if I had Christmas money that was given directly to me, yeah. I would give that instead. And wow. so there are other ways of giving, again, that don't include money. And so it is hard when you feel like you're on the outskirts and mm-hmm. you're like, I don't have money. I feel like I'm being judged because I don't have anything to put in the basket, or I don't have money to give to this charity or to that charity yeah. or to this homeless person that I see passing, you know, and it's hard. But that's why I think that it takes that true surrender, because I do think that's why prayer is the first discipline of the Lenten season.
Yes.
We have to bring it all to God, because without him, then we're nothing, right?
Yes.
So if we surrender it to him and we just follow his lead, it will greatly enrich our lives. And then we don't have to feel like we're so on the fringe and outside yeah. of being able to give and to do and to live that Christian walk.
And I feel like humility ties into that as well.
Yes.
Because when you surrender all, and if you're in a situation that's tricky now, humility, understanding, okay, this is where I am right now, and trying to make your way out of it, or just accepting that so you yes. can move forward and make changes and where things can open up.
Exactly.
So yes, prayer is so essential to the Christian life, Jesse, I agree, and to the Lenten season. So what practical advice would you give someone during Lent to help them manage their money better?
So it would actually be that sort of that second discipline of the Lenten season, and that is fasting. And of course, fasting obviously involves food, and we give up something for Lent, right? I think that we can also fast in our financial lives, mm-hmm. and we can use that fast again through prayer and almsgiving, right? We can use that time period. And so, you know, if Amazon's showing up at your house every single week, maybe you fast from buying anything on Amazon. Mm-hmm. And as a mom of three, I totally get how convenient Amazon is.
Yes.
And that's a true, like, you know, that's a true fast. That's a true offering up. That's a yes. true suffering, right? As silly as it may sound, but that's our modern way of life, right? Mm-hmm. And so we should offer that up. Fast from, you know, eating out. Fast from going to Starbucks every single morning. Yeah. Fast from whatever little thing that the Lord tells you to fast from in your disciplines and your money discipline.
Yeah.
Fast from that. And then ask the Lord what he wants you to do with that money that you are no longer spending on that thing. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe he'll call you to give that to someone or to something or to a charity. Or maybe he'll say, you need to pay off debt with this. Mm. Maybe you need to save money. So then that way, maybe next Lenten season, you are in that better financial position to be able to give more alms than you are this season.
Now, if people want to get more information about you and your website and how they can get more tips, where can they go?
They can go to my website at jessiefuron.com. They can also grab either one of my books, which is Getting Good with Money or Faithful Finances, on Amazon.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Jesse Furon, parishioner at St. Michael the Archangel, for blessing us where we can grow closer to the Lord in our finances this Lenten season.
Thank you so much for having me.
In just a bit, we're going to get acquainted with a saint and with Chuck Persner. He'll be back talking about St. Rock. Brandon Doty, parishioner at Mary Our Queen, will be speaking to us about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and how they are passed to perfection in Christ. And coming up next, Father Rivak, priest at St. Clair of Assisi in Ackworth, is going to be reflecting on today's gospel.
Hi, it's Teresa Tomeo. Coming up at 9 this morning on AM 1160 The Quest, I'm inviting you to join me for Catholic Connection. But right now, let's turn to the Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic radio station.
It is 8:17.
Father Rivak, priest at St. Clair of Assisi in Ackworth, Georgia, is back, and he is going to be unpacking today's gospel. So welcome back, Father.
Thanks, Josh and Allison, for having me again. I'm surprised every time that you keep inviting me back. but here we are in our second week of Lent, and we are looking at the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, which is part of the Sermon on the Mount, which is the largest core of Jesus's teaching. Here we go. Jesus said to his disciples, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened. Which one of you would hand his son a stone when he asks him for a loaf of bread, or a snake when he asks for a fish? If you then, who are wicked, know how to give good things to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to those who ask him? Do to others whatever you would have them do to you, This is the law and the prophets. And that is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This is just so beautiful. Just the idea that the Lord says, I want to be available to you. If you ask, I'll give it to you. If you seek, you'll find me. If you knock, I'll open the door. Mm-hmm. I want to be there for you. I want to be accessible. That's why I took on flesh. That's why we celebrate Christmas, Emmanuel. God condescends for divinity to take on humanity so that humanity can find divinity, and not only find divinity, but be invested into divinity. Just so beautiful. The golden rule here, though, this is the thing that I kind of want to like.
Yeah, that very end part.
Because it doesn't work. Maybe it used to work, but the way that we approach ourselves today, I really don't want many people to treat me the way that they treat themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So many people, they're mean to themselves. They do terrible things to themselves because they're frustrated, and that's the way they deal with their frustration.
Yeah.
So what we have to do, I think, to understand this golden rule is to understand how this is meant to be calibrated, right? It's situated within the context of the greatest commandment, which is to love the Lord your God with all your strength, all your soul, all your heart, and all your might.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jesus goes on to say, so once you do that, then the second one is like itself. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. We have to keep the order of operations correct. Our understanding of the good must come from our being informed by God, who is goodness itself.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we just go so badly astray. We're like, oh, but I'm loving you. No, you're not. You're hurting me. Cut it out.
Yeah.
You know?
So question for you, Father, as you're saying that. So when we see everyone who asks receives and the one who seeks finds, would you say that if our relationship with God is not tight, it's hard to even comprehend that? They might be saying, why am I going through this suffering nonstop?
They're asking and they're not seeing the Lord revealing himself.
Correct. And then they doubt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. First off, just to talk about faith a little bit, which is the crux of that. St. Augustine says, for those who have faith, no explanation is necessary. For those who do not have faith, no explanation is sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
That faith is a gift. It's a thing that God gives you. This is really what he gives you when you ask, right? Is to ask for faith, but you have to ask for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then having faith, even if it's a weak faith, even if you're struggling, but you have faith. And faith is given as a gift. The theological virtue of faith is given as a gift at baptism. That's one of the things that happens at baptism. You're given the theological virtue of faith, which is it's a divine power to have faith versus, I mean, anybody can have natural faith, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
What we're talking about is the divine power of faith, which has the power to save, right? But when we ask and we're not asking from that faith and we're asking from the natural virtue of faith of like, oh, Lord, you say that you can do this. I know you can do this. So give me this thing that I want.
Mm-hmm.
And then he doesn't give it, and you're like, you haven't revealed yourself to me. You're asking, Jesus says you ask, but you ask wrongly, mm-hmm. right? But you have to be asking from the vision of faith, the horizon of eternity, as I call it. And you have to be asking not so much for what you want, but for what the Lord wants for you in what you want.
Mm-hmm.
It's great that a person's concerned with a suffering family member. That's great. Like, nobody's criticizing that. But are you trying to tell God what to do in the situation?
Yeah. I've heard that phrase, God answers prayers always. The answer is either
sometimes
yes,
no.
Wait, or I have something better.
Mm.
Now, the key is
okay. Uh-huh.
Better. I can't put it into a superficial cookie cutter mode. I'm talking about better from an internal standpoint.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And that might not be something I think is better on this side of eternity.
Mm-hmm.
But when we get on the other end of the tapestry, I heard someone describe it this way. You know, if you look at a tapestry, on one side, it's just gorgeous. But on the other side, it's very messy.
Yeah, which is what our lives usually look like, right?
Yeah.
The backside of a tapestry.
The backside, right? And so it's not until we get on the other side of heaven, God willing, that we will see how beautiful that tapestry truly is.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Amen.
And so it's a good reminder, Father, that what you're saying, that importance is in trusting God in his providence. Are we willing to accept whatever that I have something better is, even if I look at it immediately and go, that's worse?
100%.
Yeah. Or in fear, like, what? What are you asking? And again, I think that just that's where your relationship with him, the trusting and knowing him, helps you say, okay, I trust in you, right?
Well,
Rather than blind.
I think the reason he has to say this is because the people he's saying this to have had that experience of praying and not mm-hmm. feeling like their prayers were answered.
Yeah.
And so he's like, he's not like telling us something new. He's reassuring us that even though we don't think that we've necessarily found when we saw it, or have been given when we asked, or had the door open to us. When he's saying, no, trust me, it is being done. I know that your experience might be that when you ask, I'm not giving, or God's not giving, my Father's not giving, but he is. And here's another reason why you should trust it, because you guys, wicked as you are, I love that. He's like, you guys are wicked. You know, every time I read from the Bible, the hippy dippy Jesus is just further dispelled in my mind, right? It's like, he calls it as it is. Hey, look, you guys are wicked. Okay. You get so much wrong. You do things for self-interested motivations, and even you wouldn't give your son a scorpion when he asked for, what's he asked for to get a scorpion? Anyways, it doesn't matter. Even you wouldn't do that. So look, if you know that you wouldn't do that, just trust that the God, the God that you know must by definition be better than you, is going to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Father, I think something important to remember, which is something you accentuate all the time, is the best way to abide in that trust and receive those good things God has for us is to stay in a sacramental rhythm. Mm-hmm. Go to Mass, go to confession, get spiritual direction, go to adoration. That's when we, I think, hopefully start to gravitate out of Santa Claus God and into an alignment with divine will.
That's right. Oh, Santa Claus God. I love that. I talk about the divine genie, but yeah, Santa Claus God. That's great. little bag of gifts that we want. I think the takeaway here for me with this is to trust that even though, and remember, Jesus tells us that we don't know how to pray, but the Spirit prays for us. Mm-hmm. Even if we don't do it perfectly and we don't think we're getting the results we want, we have reason to trust that as long as we trust, God will manifest the best good in our lives unto eternity.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Father Rivak, priest at St. Clair of Assisi, for blessing us with this beautiful gospel reflection today.
My pleasure. It's so good to see you guys.
And Father, where can people go if they want to hear your awesome podcast?
We have started a podcast at St. Clair. Father Tim Nadolski, the pastor, myself, and our producer, Nicole. It's called The Truth Unplugged. It is nothing but basically off-air conversations on air, and it's a lot of fun. We take parishioner questions, and we answer them in what is really a gritty and just a real regular talk way. It's educational, and it's entertaining. Wherever you listen to podcasts, look up The Truth Unplugged, and you will find Father Tim, Nicole, and me having a grand old time.
Fantastic. Thank you, Father. Be sure to check out The Truth Unplugged.
It is 8:25. I am Allison DeLoul. At CatholicVote.com, following the violence in northwest Syria targeting minorities like the Alawites, Christians, the Carmelite nuns in Aleppo have warned that genocide is taking place. They express shock and sorrow over the massacres in the Alawite region, where many have lost family and friends. Despite the horror, some Sunni and Shiite families have protected the Alawite refugees. The nuns begged for prayers and support, calling the violence a crime against humanity and urging the government to work for peace and reconciliation. They ask for prayers from the Christian community, urging them to hold firm in faith. Tom Monahan founded Legatus in 1987 to help Catholic businesses live life out of their faith in the workplace. With around 90 chapters in North America, the group offers peer support, networking, pilgrimages, and spiritual practice like daily mass and confession. Members like Kristen Hawkins and Dean Andrew Abella share tips for bringing Catholic values into business. They emphasize building a supportive community, modeling virtuous behavior, and recognizing integrity in others. Stay true to who you are, Hawkins says, reminding Catholics that they can live their faith anywhere, from McDonald's to a Fortune 500 company. For more about this article, go to CatholicNewsAgency.com.
And one thing I want to check, this guy is like the Catholic Elon Musk or
Tom Monahan, yeah.
He founds Domino's Pizza, right? And by the way, I was told that it was actually based on, as a subtle wink, the Latin. It's Dominus, meaning Lord.
Oh,
but Domino's was like the closest.
I never heard that before. Yeah. I'm from the Detroit area, so I'm familiar with, you know, he used to own the Detroit Tigers.
He owned the Tigers?
Yeah, the baseball team. He started Ave Maria Radio.
Ave Maria University. Yes.
Law school. He started all these things. Mm-hmm. And he was responsible for bringing Al Cresta to Ave Maria Radio.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. So I mean, he's the I guess like you said, the Elon Musk of Catholics.
Yeah, was the Catholic Iron Man, maybe Catholic Tony Stark.
Yeah, doing good work.
In just a bit, Brandon Doty, parishioner at Mary Our Queen, will be speaking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and how they are passed to perfection in Christ. And then coming up next, we're going to get acquainted with a saint, with Chuck Persner, talking about Saint Rock.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio. This is The Morning Quest. Finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison. Time now to get acquainted with the sainted.
It is 8:31.
Chuck Persner is back with us, and he has another saint of the day. Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Allison.
And good morning, Josh.
Good morning, Chucky Ducky.
Right.
A new nickname.
A new nickname today.
Chucky Ducky. One new nickname for all 40 days of Lent. Can you do it? I think you can do it.
Should I try to whip some up right now?
Chucky Ducky, Chuck E. Cheese, Chuck Stop. No reruns. I think we've used reruns.
They've got to be originals, Josh. Okay, I can't wait to see what you have to say tomorrow.
Okay. All right. Today, it's Chucky Ducky.
Well, tomorrow's tomorrow. With regard to today, today is Canine Veterans Handlers Day. I should say Canine Veterans Day. And on this day, canine breeders and handlers honor the service of their beloved canine companions.
Wait, when you say canine veterans, do you mean dogs that served in the armed forces?
Not only the armed forces, they serve in the FBI.
Oh, that's Secret really Service. Cool, actually. I'm a big fan. This is awesome.
Yeah, this is. They get embedded in Border Patrol and Customs, a topic that's as hot as can be nowadays, right? Mm-hmm. Military, mm-hmm. as you said, Josh, law enforcement. Mm-hmm. And this holiday recognizes other service dogs as well that help people. The seeing eye dogs, you know, that you see, or even the dogs who help other people with disabilities, support animals for those with mental health issues. Mm-hmm. And as we know, service dogs often risk their lives and their health to accomplish their mission. So it's appropriate that we have a day for these dogs.
Yeah, I think that's cool. Although, let's be real, there are people that really need service dogs, and it is so beautiful. And then I think there's some that are just using the get out of jail free card to fly Fluffy on coach. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was at a flight recently, and this someone was in a trench coat, and up popped the Chihuahua. It looked left, looked right, went back down. And I was like, what is that? Like, it's my service dog. My secret service dog.
Yeah. No, you see it. There's no question about it. But, you know, during this Lenten season, we are not called to judge, Josh.
No, we're not.
But having said that, you know, it was a man named Joe White, who was a Vietnam War veteran from Jacksonville, Florida, who started Canine Veterans Day. White was a dog handler who saw firsthand how valiantly canines served in the war. And he was disturbed by the euthanasia that was taking place at the end of their military service. Now, this practice has been abolished, thanks be to God. But to help raise awareness and honor the sacrifices of military working dogs, he came up with the idea for this day.
Oh, wow.
And God bless him for doing that. And that's why I chose today Saint Rock, also known as Saint Rocco, who is the patron saint of service dogs.
Interesting. Pretty cool.
Now, his name is spelled R-O-C-H, but pronounced Rock. Mm-hmm. And I point that out because I have a feeling a number of our listeners are more aware of this saint than they might even know. Many prayers to Saint Rock are in circulation over the years and in most recent times because he is also the patron saint against plagues, pestilence, and pandemics. And I know that once I learned back in 2020... of his patronage, that I offered prayers to him every day during daily Mass.
Yes.
It seemed perfectly logical to do that, seek his intercession every day and during the COVID crisis and such. With regard to his life, he was a nobleman from Montpellier, France. He was the only son of the governor of the city, born in the year 1295. Now, here's an interesting fact. He was born with an unusual deep red mark on his chest in the shape of a cross. And this was taken by many as a sign that the Blessed Virgin Mary had heard and answered his mother's prayers because she was barren and she was trying to have a child for a long time. And as a child, Rock himself was deeply religious. He fasted twice a week after the example of his mother, who, as I said, was a very holy woman. But his parents did die when he was 20 years of age. And he took his inheritance and gave it to the poor. It was a quite sizable inheritance. And he handed over governmental control of the city over to his uncle. So here we see, he began a life as a poor mendicant pilgrim. We see he had no interest in political power or really any interest in anything of the world because he would have inherited that governmental position.
Yeah.
He didn't want it.
free from all these earthly cares. He joined the Third Order Franciscans, and he donned the familiar pilgrim's garb, which is a common practice of popular piety at the time, and set out on a pilgrimage to visit and pray at the holy places in Rome. So when he came upon a town near Viterbo, he saw that it was badly struck by the Black Plague, which was wreaking havoc all across Europe at the time. And he stayed there for a time to care for the sick, both in private homes and in the hospital. Now, this he did this in great danger to himself, because these are highly contagious plagues. But instead of contracting the disease, St. Roch actually cured many people simply by making the sign of the cross over them. And again, this could be a connection to the red birthmark that he had in the shape of the sign of the cross. We see the sign of the cross being a recurring theme with regard to his life. And you know, he continued his charitable work until the disease was halted from spreading further in that village, and after which he continued on to another pilgrimage. And what began to happen was his miraculous healing power was made manifest in the same manner in every plague-filled city that he visited. He would just go from town to town and offer healing. And when his travels brought him to the town of Piacenza, he discovered that he was no longer spared from the deadly disease, though, having finally contracted it in his leg.
Wow.
So instead of burdening anyone with this sickness, he commanded himself to God and essentially awaited for his death in a remote and abandoned forest hut. He went off by himself. He sensed that this might have been his the waning moments of his life. But through a stroke of divine providence, a local nobleman's hunting dog found and befriended him and bringing him food daily. And he was literally licking his wounds. And a spring arose nearby to provide St. Roch with fresh water. So again, we see the connection to the dogs.
Yes.
And this is where he gets that patronage, because this dog performed this great act of service for him.
Taking care of him.
And the nobleman followed his dog into the woods one day and led him to discover and aid St. Roch. And slowly his health was restored. So not so fast. He was not done yet. God was not done with him.
More plans.
And after which, you know, he did receive this divine inspiration that he should return to his native of Montpierre. Once there, he found the city at war when he returned. A common occurrence here, a common recurring theme with a lot of these saints living during these times of constant strife and war. He refused to disclose his identity, though, to the soldiers because he wanted to remain poor and unknown. He could have easily started dropping names and talking about the fact that he was the son of the former governor, but he chose to instead remain anonymous. But this led his behavior to become suspicious. So he was ultimately accused of being a spy, disguised as a pilgrim, and he did not defend himself against these charges. He just wished to conceal his true identity. And ironically enough, after being cast into prison by his own uncle just didn't even know who he was, didn't recognize him. And he would later die in prison in about 5 years from his time of imprisonment.
Wow.
So there you have the amazing story of St. Roch.
Wow. He's the patron saint of service dogs, like you were saying, pilgrimages against plagues, epidemics, and
pestilence, perhaps?
Yeah. Pestilence.
Yeah.
Yep. And it's an interesting story. Again, with any saint story, there's typically, with radical holiness comes radical suffering. And he knows all about that. So definitely somebody we can relate to and ask for intercession in during our suffering. And it was very, he's canonized by popular devotion, right? Though never formally through canonized.
That's highly unusual. In fact, that's the first saint that we've discussed in the time that you've been on the air for which that was the case. Saints are usually canonized by popes, but that's a very interesting.
But he's officially a saint, is that correct?
Absolutely.
Okay. Like in the liturgical calendar.
Yep. Feast day and everything. Yep.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, Chucky, my good friend Ducky, one thing's for sure. With facts like these, you ain't no quack. So, St. Roch,
pray for us.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
Well, we got a good one for you guys today, and this is one of the greatest hits. If you've ever been to a wedding, been in a wedding, you've probably heard this scripture. We're going to be talking a little bit about
if you were at my wedding, you heard this.
Oh, really? Is that what you did?
Yep.
Yep. Use this one. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, it's 1 Corinthians 13:4-7. Love is patient. Love is kind. It's not jealous. Love is not pompous. It is not inflated. It is not rude. It does not seek its own interests. It's not quick-tempered. It does not brood over injury. It does not rejoice over wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things.
Mm-hmm. And truly, guys, I mean,
we're all hitting it out of the park with this, right?
And that's why I kind of, I had an incident happen at home where I was not kind and I was not slow to anger. And I was like, you know what? I think we need to talk about this, the scripture, because I know I can't be the only one out there that struggles with these sometimes. And I know Father John Ricardo has a great.
Yeah, Christ is the Answer is on weekdays at noon here on The Quest.
Yeah.
And you probably, if you listen to The Quest at all during Lent, if you've been listening for the last week or so, we've been playing this quite a few times throughout the day. I'll just play a little portion of this.
1 Corinthians 13. And this is what I try to do. I never get past the first stanza, but take out love, put your name, see if it applies. Love is patient. Love is kind. That's usually where I stop. John is somewhat patient. He wants to be kind, but he's not very kind. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love's not jealous or boastful. It's not arrogant or rude.
We'll just stop it there because you get the gist of it. I mean, put your name in place of love.
I know. No, seriously. And it's a great way to analyze how we're doing in our lives. So After I was quick-tempered this morning, I was like, we need to focus on this. And I love that information about Father John, how he explains it. Because What a great thing for us to do daily, putting our name in there and asking ourselves, Allison is patient. Allison is kind, and really focusing on areas where maybe I am patient in certain times, but when I'm not patient, and maybe focusing on those people or those situations to work on that.
Well, and when it happens is when you're in that moment.
Yes.
And you're not thinking, I need to be patient here, because that's the time you're not.
Correct. You know? Correct.
Yeah, it's a good verse to memorize, I think, for those moments when, you know, the kettle's starting to boil a little bit hot and you think, I may say something that I want to retract later, and then can I repeat that verse internally? Or like James 1:2, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. You know, to have these kind of scriptural, hopefully, antidotes in those moments that can at least buy us some time and bring God into our hearts before we say something we may regret.
Or email something.
Oh, yeah.
And we talked about that.
I can't tell you how many times when I was in the secular world, you're running, wanting to just hit send on that. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to sleep on this and look at it in the morning. And then 9 times out of 10, it's like, nope, that's deleted. Point in sending that email,
Yeah, absolutely. And also that love is patient. They should just hang that at the DMV. What do you think?
Well, you know,
maybe on every highway billboard you pass.
Okay, the DMV, this is going off.
The downtown connector.
This is a totally different angle, but I'm telling you, the DMV in Canton, Georgia is the bomb. They are amazing. They are patient, they are outstanding, and they are quick. So
the customers, not the employees.
we were taken care of. So that might be the only exception of all of them.
So we could say the DMV is patient, the DMV is kind.
Yeah. Yes, slow to anger. They were. I don't know about the other ones. No, but again, when we fail to do these things, let's ask for forgiveness and repent. I did to my daughter, and she said, I forgive you. So praise God.
Good.
Awesome.
Well, and love keeps no records of wrongs. I'm sure you're a married man, Dave. Your wife doesn't keep any record of your... Well, you're perfect, right?
There is no wrong. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Confession time. You're not perfect.
Yeah, I go to confession. The priest says, well, I'll take a little nap right now.
Oh, Dave, you are a trip. You are a comedian, too.
Well, it's interesting. You know, it doesn't rejoice over wrongdoing as well. Like, I actually want to go to this Greek word really quick. Love is patience. Speaking of patience, the Greek word used there means long suffering or slow to anger. So it's just a reminder, right? Like, true love endures difficulties without retaliation or resentment. And that's really where relationships are formed, in those hard times. And anyway, also think about Jesus' example. He patiently endured mockery and suffering on the cross and, for the ultimate reward. So Just something to meditate on.
Amen. Coming up next, Brandon Doty, parishioner at Mary Our Queen, will be speaking to us about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and how they are passed to perfection in Christ.
Matt Swaim here. Join Anna Mitchell and me tomorrow morning from 6 to 8 for the Sunrise Morning Show on AM 1160, The Quest. But for now, let's return to The Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It is 8:47, and we are so happy to have Brandon Doty here, parishioner at Mary Our Queen, and he's going to be speaking to us today about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and how they're passed to perfection in Christ. So welcome back to The Quest.
Hey, good morning. Great to be with you all this morning.
You are here with us, my friend.
Yeah. Thank you all for having me. I appreciate it.
No, we're excited. And it's so nice that you do continuing education at your parish.
We do. We do. And it was an inspired idea by Father Bird and the adult faith formation group led by Todd and Leanne at Mary Our Queen to open it up during the masses. So we have an 8:30 and 11 o'clock mass.
Love
and
that.
We have our kids go to class for religious education. We decided, hey, parents are kind of hanging around. Let's do some formation during that time.
That is so smart. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
And I know we're going to be diving into a few of these amazing gifts today, the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. So, you know, like so many of us during Lent, we're always looking for tools to use, right? To help us be more like Christ. And so, you know, we don't talk a lot about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but as confirmed Catholics, we have access to them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And there's seven, and we see these in Isaiah. So Isaiah talks about Christ kind of. Foretells the coming of the Messiah, that he would have six of these seven characteristics of wisdom, understanding, counsel, knowledge, fortitude, piety, and fear of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And think of them as kind of tools that we can use to develop virtue.
Yeah.
As you know, our goal is to be more like Christ.
Yes.
That's how we can do it, by developing virtue in our life. And these tools are the ways that we can help get there. And so the first four I listed, wisdom, understanding, counsel, and knowledge, we want to set those aside for another time because they all sound similar. And I think people get them confused. Like, what's the difference between wisdom and understanding and counsel and knowledge? But there's vast differences. But a lot of similarities at the same time. So we may want to set that aside.
Okay.
But in terms of fortitude, piety, and fear of the Lord, I like to, to help me remember them, I like to think of biblical characters, people that we know, we've read about, we see throughout the Old and New Testament that kind of embody these.
Yes.
And when you think about fortitude, it's trust to do the will of God in the face of possible loss.
Ah.
Right? And I think of like Queen Esther. I think of Daniel. I think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, right?
Oh, yes.
They weren't willing to bow down in the face of near death. And for us to develop that, and you see that now out in the world today.
Oh, yes.
How important it is for us as Catholics to have that fortitude within us to do what's right and to do the things that may cost us here on earth, but are certainly the will of God.
Well, you even hear today in the news segment, the different groups that are getting slaughtered out there for being, Christian, and it's serious. So, that fortitude, praise God, we're here in the States, but you never know where we're going to be and how we are going to be called to have that fortitude.
That's right. That's right. It's there's not a martyr out there that did not possess fortitude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that as Catholics, we realize that fortitude and these gifts really come to the forefront when we have a Eucharistic rhythm and proximity, right? Because it's the grace of
That's
God
a great point.
That illuminates these gifts. And isn't that reassuring? It's like, hey, I don't have to magically figure this out on my own. Like, the church has given us tools to maximize these God-given graces that sort of manifest in our spiritual journey. And clearly, through the sacraments, right? Baptism, confirmation.
It's all there.
But then as we progress in the journey, some of these virtues and gifts progress as well.
That's right. That's right. And so think about piety of being devoted to that which is important to God. Just such a simple idea. And I think King David possessed that, at least early. Here he is. He's on the run from Saul, had so many opportunities one in particular to kill Saul and didn't because he was anointed by God and would not touch Saul for that. And then I think in the New Testament, Simeon is such a great example of someone who God said, you will see the Messiah, mm-hmm. and you will not be called home until you see the Messiah. And when he did,
oh, he knew it.
That's right. Saw it right away. And so, you know, for us to think about, you know, especially during Lent,
yeah,
how do we devote ourselves to what's important to God? Not necessarily to me in this situation, like what you all were talking about in the previous segment.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. how do we show love? How do we show patience? As God has asked us to do, not for me to make a point,
correct,
in an email when I want to, but to really be devoted to the things that are important to God,
and to be a witness of God to all. I mean, that's really what it comes down to as well. I mean,
right.
Our behavior, our actions, what we do affects others. They're
that's
watching
right.
us,
and as we do it, we find we're refining ourselves.
Yes.
We're becoming more perfect, not perfect, but more perfect.
Correct.
In how we do that, and then. Finally, fear of the Lord.
This is a good one. I
yes.
can't wait for you to unpack this one.
Well, this is, you know, wonder and awe mm-hmm. in God's presence.
Yes.
So that could be a misconception. When we think of fear, we think of, oh, a terror of God.
Right.
If he's this, you know, this grand being that is waiting to, you know, put us in time out, which, I mean, again, I think there's a fear we want of offending God. Mm-hmm. But the greater, I think, place to be grounded in is a deep love and reverence. And I think that's
absolutely.
What you're talking about.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you think about Moses at the burning bush, you know, understanding what's happening in that moment. But how many times do we walk into Mass just kind of cavalier, not realizing we're in the presence of the Lord?
Yes.
Or as you were talking, Josh, we have access to these sacraments of thinking about our baptism, thinking about our confirmation, you know, when we go to adoration of really knowing and appreciating what an awesome thing the church mm-hmm. gives mm-hmm. us in that yeah. moment to sit in the presence of the Lord and to take that time to just be thankful, that we serve an awesome God who loves us, cares for us, and wants nothing but the best for each of us.
Yes.
Yeah.
And even if somebody is not at that point of even understanding when they're in the presence of God, that is truly Jesus, asking, you know, Lord, help me understand that this is you. Help me know you on a deeper level, right? So they can actually acquire that gift of the fear of the Lord, of understanding in awe of his presence.
That's right.
And again, not fear of like, oh, I'm going to be struck down.
Right.
I think a lot of people live that way. They're afraid, oh, if you do this, you're going to go to hell. I'm like, we're called to be virtuous, but the fear of the Lord is when you love him so much and you know him and you don't want to offend him out of a loving way because you love
that's,
him so
that's
much.
That's so right. And I think a lot of times we use that as an excuse,
yeah,
right, to not be devoted, to not go further in our walk. And we may talk to people mm-hmm. who have left the church, and that's kind of the excuses they give about
yes.
this. Being up in the clouds that's judging and
correct.
Not loving. And there's certainly judgment. We know that to be
yes,
the case.
Yes.
But not without justice and not without love. And those are such important components for us to yeah. remember about our God.
Yeah. And just a reminder that this scripture, I want to read this, James 1:5, but if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and he will be given it. So again, it's not necessarily about us rolling up our will mm-hmm. and, you know, just self-willing our way to these virtues, but rather, you know, it should start with a prayerful disposition and manifest from there.
Amen.
That's exactly right. And knowing that we have these at our disposal.
Yeah.
You know, God has given us these through the Holy Spirit at our disposal. And so, you know, we're starting to enter the tough days
yes.
of Lent. You know, Ash Wednesday's over. Mm-hmm. We're now kind of headed toward the grind of Lent where the rubber meets the road.
Yeah.
Can we really do the things that we've set out to do? And one of the things that we've talked about in our adult faith formation sessions is, you know, certainly mortification and fasting, almsgiving and prayer are essential components of Lent. But who do you want to be on Easter morning?
Mm.
Like how much more like Christ
wow.
do you want to be? And to think about those things, because that's That's going to help us. That's our guidepost. And these are the tools that the Holy Spirit gives us to get there.
Amen.
Well, that's a going out on a high note. Thank you so much,
yeah,
Brandon.
Thank you, Brandon, Jody.
Oh, gosh, you guys are wonderful. I appreciate you letting me be here this morning.
Amen.
Well, let's close the best way. We're just, you know, I'm going to say this scripture, but if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and he will be given to it. And he will be given it. Glory be to the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen. Have a great day.